Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McKusick, and it's time for this week's matchups episode of The Offense. As always, I'm joined by my friend and co-host, Frazier Tafar. Frazier, how you doing?
Doing good, Ken. Got to be back on for the offensive show. Got a great matchup show talking about if the Ravens can stop Kenneth Gainwell and
Jaylen Warren
as well, with our inside linebackers and forcing them to either bounce it outside or try and strip them. And then also focusing on Hamilton and how he can be a force in the middle and making either Freiermuth and then Washington's out with the broken arm. So we can make the middle of the field almost obsolete if we're able to stop Freiermuth with Kyle Hamilton.
Obviously, big matchup there. The Ravens defensive line versus the Pitt offensive line will be one of the kind of textured decisions in this game. I do expect the Ravens to go with four nose tackles plus Urban. So I think that's one of the big matchups, is how that group of enormous men is going to be able to control space at the line of scrimmage versus a Pittsburgh run game, which is about two-thirds zone. Are they going to be able to control space and allow Smith and Simpson to flow to the ball and make the tackles they're going to need to make to shut down that Steelers run game? So great show. It's worth looking back at or listening to if you haven't missed it, if you missed it so far. Let's move on to the Ravens offense. What does the offense need to do for your first item?
Yep. First matchup I have is the Ravens early down play calling versus the Pittsburgh stack box looks. We've seen it forever at this point with Lamar Jackson, first and second down. Usually they have extra defensive linemen in, or they have extra man in the box to try and prevent the run. I think this week we have to continue to force our hand with Derrick Henry, but when the opportunities present itself, like the first play of the game against the Packers where we ran the play action and threw it to Andrews for 9-10 yards, I think continuing to have plays like that to keep the defense honest is what can win this game against Pittsburgh, because against a guy like Patrick Queen, if you have him confused on whether it's run or pass, it's going to be a long day for that defense, because if they can't get their middle guy on the same page as the rest of the team, then we've seen how that works, like we did in the playoffs last year. Mm-hmm. So it really makes a difference if we're able to attack them on the early downs, not force us to be in third and long, second and long, put us in really good situations moving forward so we can get downfield and not have issues where we stall out and put our defense in not an advantageous situation.
One of the things that has both caused problems but also presented opportunity to the Ravens at time this year is early down crowded line of scrimmage looks, where the Ravens are forced basically to throw over it, because you lose all your misdirection value, or a lot of it, when you have to run at, you know, seven or eight guys that are right along the line of scrimmage there, from outside each tight end, outside the other tight end. That's very difficult to work with. So what they can do is look at the defense as they get to the line of scrimmage and make those appropriate choices, and hopefully demonstrate that they can beat the Pittsburgh crowding and blitz. And this is what I had as my first item. I will finish with one more on your item. You mentioned really keeping up with the sticks on early down as being a big thing. If the defense gives them to it, I'm certainly for that. Okay, so if you're consistently seeing a seven-man box, and you know you have Patrick Ricard on the field, well then they're just asking for the run. If you're seeing a six-man box anytime, they're just asking for the run, even if it's 11 personnel. But if you're seeing an eight-man box, I want to see them adjust to that and basically throw over it. Yep. They've got a lot of weakness in the middle of that defense in terms of ability to cover, and Patrick Queen being the big element of it that you want to take advantage of it. And they also got some weakness in terms of tackling in the middle of that
field.
And
their corners on the outside have been weak this year as well. They're banged up too.
We'll see who's back. If Eccles, I guess, is the big one that might come back right this week.
Okay. Yep, exactly.
Yeah. I'll move on to my second one, which is just the ability to demonstrate that they can beat these Pittsburgh crowding and blitz look. If we go back to the Cincinnati game, they had plays already installed to beat Cincinnati's crowding looks. And the two that were very significant were the 32-yard pass to Hopkins, which is on the first or second drive, might have been the second drive of the game, the, one of the first scoring drives. And then they had a 30-yard pass to Ali, where they just allowed the defense basically to come in and got the exact amount of over-aggressiveness they hoped for. And they got the ball out to Ali, and he took it 30 yards for the TD from the second big play of that drive. One thing I really don't like to see is pre-snap adjustments, which Lamar tightens up the formation, asks a tight end usually to come in closer to the end of, to where the tackle is, to try and make a block of some sort. Usually that's a fool's errand. Any additional tightening versus crowding is something you're doing defense a favor. Because they will always have one more than you. They're probably already looking to figure out how they can overload to one side or the other and drop some interior alignment into coverage. That's often one of the things you do in the sim pressure looks where you have extreme crowding. So you're just doing them a favor, frankly, when you bring somebody in tighter. If they can do that effectively, if they can find a package of plays, a set of, it has to be 2, 3, 4 plays that they can run and be successful maybe 2 or 3 times out of 3 or 4, then they'll get the Pittsburgh defense to back off. It's a team that likes to use the 4-man pass rush anyway. Not as much as the Packers, probably not as much as the Patriots either, but they are a team that likes to basically use a 4-man pass rush. And, you're better off just forcing them to say, okay, we got to do the best we can in zone against Lamar Jackson, because it's the only way we can contain him, and not allow us to beat with the pass. Lamar's health, absolutely paramount in terms of read option looks that would accrue from success at that. And his mobility is also very key to the blitz beating throws. So oftentimes Lamar has to move and adjust arm angle or both on a play where he's trying to get the ball out past encroaching defenders who may even be more in his face than he's used to.
Yep. And I think that's a really good point in terms of trying to throw over them back, make them back off, in terms of understanding that if they keep coming towards us and we can't stop it, it's going to just be like Miami over again. And we don't want that. I think it's
Miami 2021 is what he's referring to.
100%. Yep. It's going to be bad if we don't do that, but I expect us to be able to punish them with the pressure looks, with the run game as well. I think Henry can break some tackles, get to their second level, and make some hay. Cause I mean, once he gets past those linebackers, it could be an issue for anybody. So really want to see really good in-game adjustments against these blitz looks, like you said, have some play calls. I like the one that we got to Ali, more stuff like that, understanding what side the pressure is coming from, sliding the protection that way, and then having Ali do his quick little ole and get open for the touchdown. Mm-hmm. So more stuff like that is what I want to see for sure. Moving on to my next point, I have the Ravens offensive play call and creativity on 3rd and 4th down versus the Steelers. There's been times this year that we've seen some big plays downfield go to Zay Flowers, especially at the end of the half, in some of these 2-minute drills, 4-minute drills that we want to run. I think this is the game where not every pass play needs to be some creative, elaborate concept, but we need to have our gloves off for this game, because, I mean, there's no next week promise. So we need to have different type of concepts that have like crossers going across the field, stop routes, forcing the defense to either come down and then forcing them to either pick on either going with the post or the stop, multiple different combinations where we've seen Zay Flowers pop open up the sideline, either on an out and up or just either Tez Walker clearing a safety, and that is making room for either Bateman or Zay coming on a dig, stuff like that, where it's easy for us to make spacing for Lamar just to be able to anticipate the window, which he does have issue with. I think if we want to get to the Super Bowl, he needs to play on time with anticipation and with pace. And if he can't do those things, then we're not going to get there. And this is the game to do it. I mean, everything's on the line. he's had a couple weeks off. Obviously, he had a significant injury with the back injury. He's looked hurt. He looks good in practice. He's been probably been practicing this today as well. We're recording this on Thursday. So two straight days of practice. That's a good sign for him to be good on Sunday. So I really want to see him continue to be on schedule, not wait for the window, because that's why he's getting some of these sacks, because he's just being late on some of these throws. He needs to be on time and ready to go.
Yeah, it's a very hard change to ask Lamar to make in the middle of a season like this. He's always been able to make a couple on schedule throws, but it's just not his normal bent. The guy who should be really dominant in that kind of situation is Bateman, who's already a health question for this week. He's been illness 2 days so far this week. So that's unfortunate. We hope he'll be back, but he may have missed some of the install in terms of what they do. So he'll have to learn it from chalkboard and walk through if he's there tomorrow, which is not probably ideal than running the plays at kind of normal speed. I think, you know, there's a lot of things that you said there that are probably accurate in terms of play calling, but a lot of it comes down to Lamar's health. If he's healthy, then Lamar himself is the ultimate third down weapon. If it's third down and four or five, I mean, he can run for a first down, just a high percentage of plays where he's not properly accounted for, or he can run into a position where he has the option to run or pass. And those plays have been the Ravens. Every day, companies you've never heard of are making millions off your personal data. Your name, address, phone number, even details about your family are pulled from public records on the internet, then sold without your consent. There's an entire marketplace built on your privacy, and most people have no idea it exists. Aura fights back. Aura removes your personal data from broker sites and keeps it off. Aura also alerts you fast if your information shows up in a breach or on the dark web. But Aura is more than just a data broker removal system. It's a full digital security suite that protects every part of your online life. Aura gives you a VPN to stay private, antivirus to block threats, a password manager for safer logins, and spam call protection to shut down scammers. Aura scans the dark web for your most sensitive information and notifies you instantly if anything is exposed. And if your identity is ever stolen, you're backed by up to $5 billion in insurance and 24/7 U.S.-based fraud support. Other service charges about the same, but only cover one or two areas. Aura gives you everything: data broker removal, identity and credit monitoring, device protection, and fraud support, all in one simple app. Aura removes what's already exposed, protects what's not, and puts you back in control. Go to aura.com/remove for complete digital protection and peace of mind. That's aura.com/remove. It's bread and butter. As we go backwards in, to the earlier Lamar days, is devastating at keeping the Ravens on track with the chains. And I do hope that's something we see this week. We certainly saw it from Tyler Huntley. 30 out of 33 first downs the Ravens ran resulted in a touchdown or first down. They had two field goals and they had one punt. And they had one kneel down at the end of the game that doesn't count, you know, because they're trying to get the game over with. But 30 out of 33 first downs, they got another subsequent first down or touchdown. That's an unbelievable 91%. Yeah, it's called drive success rate, which is kind of a little bit of a misnomer there. But I want to see creative play calling. I also want to see aggression on fourth down in this game. I know it seems like this is a team you don't want to take chances with because they suck and they can't drive the field and whatnot. I want to see him steal possessions from a team like that and force the issue, make the Steelers be a very tired defensive team, which I think they could be by the end of this one.
And honestly, I really do not want to see us in those third and fourth down situations, like the must-haves, like I'm mentioning. I don't want to see rollout condensing the field for Lamar that we do. I'm not really a big fan of that play anyway, where we roll out to the right and then we have essentially the quick out route, rub route that you try and create. I think that's probably the stupidest thing to run, unless if you're the Ravens, because we run it so often, people are ready for it. If you're going to run that, it needs to be like a two or three times a year thing. We tend to do that a lot. I think we've gotten off that because of the backlash that we've gotten and some of the failures that we've received from that play. But I don't want to see that this game. I want to see creative play calling, giving Lamar the whole field to work with.
Yeah, it's a really good point. about that. One of the problems with any kind of rollout to the right is it takes away a portion of the field from the quarterback. Exactly. He can't throw back to the left. So your field is already compressed oftentimes, yep, particularly if you're running it in the red zone. Exactly. Your field is already compressed front to back, and then you further compress it left to right. You better have something. Ricard leaking out of the backfield as a guy.
You better know you're in man. Yeah. That's the main thing. Because if they're in zone, then you're going to be an issue. But if you know they're in a man look, then these routes can work. But if not, then it's going to be real bad.
Yeah, and sometimes even in a zone look, the end defender in the secondary on that side will still bite on some cheese and let a Ricard get leak out. So they can, you can get a guy there. The other thing is a sixth offensive lineman. You know, you can sometimes get that kind backside of a player. On the backside of the play. But Lamar is one of the few quarterbacks who you can really trust to be able to have the quickness to reset his feet and then throw back all the way across the field. But
or even attack the line, take a couple steps back, and then just find the guy randomly last second.
Yeah,
which we've seen last so many times.
We've seen that on a lot of his big plays. All right, moving on. My next item is the Ravens' interior offensive line versus Harmon, Hayward, and Benton. So Steelers appear to be healthy on the interior offensive line. Harmon missed the last game. He's a first round draft pick. He will be, I think, a very good player. His rookie year has been okay, but not great. But I wouldn't look at the tackling grade from PFF as being particularly meaningful, because the defensive interior tackle grades in particular are pretty poorly derived. The median grade is about a 46. So Harmon might even be lower than that, but it's not the kind of concern that you might think it is. So one thing you can do is go through, and if you have PFF, you have a regular subscription to them, go through and look at the defensive interior, cut it out. So it's just cut it down. So it's just the players who have 500 plus or 50% of the snaps or more, and then look at order them all by tackle rate, and then go down to the 50% point, the median. And you'll see, you know, this does not appear to be normalized properly. So I noticed it first I've noticed it before in past years, and I always thought it was a definitional change in their tackling, but I don't think it is anymore. I think there's something more in play here. Like they're doing it wrong, and they haven't had time to fix it maybe. So anyway, Travis Jones has a fairly poor tackling score for how incredible his tackling has been this year. Right. He's got 5 or 6% his tackle rate. Harmon, Hayward, and Benton are three large men. They all have some ability to get downhill on the pass rusher. Harmon is the better run defender, probably of Harmon or Benton. We look at the 307 yards the Ravens got last week. It was a very different defensive line.
Yes, yes, yes.
And I don't see that as being as easy. I think I want to see combination blocks made against those three guys, particularly to get them off their pins. And they need to really finish combination blocks. Now, here's what I mean by that. I'm not talking about the climbing element of it, which comes secondarily. So you have a duo block, a 2-on-1 block at the line of scrimmage. Is a combination block where one of those two players will then climb to level two and make a second block, usually on an inside linebacker. So you're looking to set that up initially. The key element of that is that the two players at the line of scrimmage have to work together to get that player off balance. And in particular, versus high quality linemen, you really need that for the trailing player then to finish that lineman. And so Falele is perfectly capable of finishing any one of those guys with his side, but Linderbaum has to be able to finish his element before he climbs, which is really helping get that guy off balance on one foot. And then the job will get done properly. Green Bay did a great job of that. And a lot of that led to a ton of level two blocks. 18 level two blocks for Linderbaum is the highest total I've ever seen. But Roger Rosengarten had 11. Voorhees had 8. Falele had 6. Stanley had 5. I mean, that's a absurd number of level two blocks for one football game. Some of it was pulling, but most of it was coming off combination blocks with this higher reliance on power that they had in the Green Bay game. So more level two first contact, particularly if it's Patrick Queen, who's one of the worst tackling inside linebackers in the entire league, along with Yaya Black and Kyle Duggar in the middle, who's no Deshaun Elliott. Peyton Wilson was a legendary college tackler who's now struggling a little bit. He may be actually struggling in part because Patrick Queen is not finishing tackles that he's part of. So that's kind of my theory on it. But he's got 31 stops and 14 missed tackles, a 2.1-to-1 ratio. In college, I think I want to say in his final year at NC State, he was 11-to-1. It was like 44-to-4. So he's not the same player, obviously. And you would expect some regression when he gets to the NFL level. I think he's suffering from playing with Patrick Queen. I don't normally, give a player credit for being in a tough circumstance like that. But Patrick Queen is 31 stops and 28 missed tackles on the year for a 1.1-to-1 relationship between those two things. That is awful, folks. That is just terrible.
My God. Yeah, I think, like you said, this really starts with the Ravens. Falele Voorhees and Linderbaum being a force up front. The Green Bay game should have been a confidence booster for them, knowing how to get to their spots, get to the second level, and get Derek some room to operate and make plays downfield. And when you do that, he scores 4 touchdowns. So I think it's going to be a really tough test against the Steelers front. Hayward, Harmon, like you mentioned, those guys are going to be stout up front. I think Linderbaum's going to have a hard day because everyone's going to be motivated. The division's on the line, and defense has a tendency to live up to the expectation in these kind of games, and they tend to get after it onto the offenses. So we have to be ready for this physicality and the aggressiveness of the defense. I don't really imagine them having too much pressure looks like we have, like with the stack boxes and stuff like that. I think they could come after us head up with 4 guys. And that's going to be a problem if they do get through a couple of times to Lamar with just 4, because then we're going to have to allocate resources.
Now that's true. That's true with anybody. If you can rush the passer effectively with 4 men, you pretty much got it made. I want to say one thing about Falele in this game, because it really relates to the Green Bay game. So Falele had, I think it was 11 missed blocks. I only got my sheet in front of me right here. Falele had 11 missed blocks in the game, but he only allowed 1 pressure. So from a pass blocking standpoint, he was okay. From a blocking standpoint, he had 8 of 11 misses that were either pulls or in L2. So L2NB was the most common note on his score sheet, and pulls where he missed. In one case, he pancaked the guy, but he still got underneath him, kind of a corkscrew move, and made a tackle on Henry on a run left. Falele, without decisions to make, is an ideal offense to try and run this week. Okay, he very effective as just a power blocker this last week. Let's put him in those positions where he doesn't have to do too much deciding of his own, in terms of who he has to block. Let the assignment be known at the, before the play begins, basically, to the extent you can. And I think that, obviously he's a lineman. You can't just say, well, don't play with your brain here. Just,
you block and hit somebody.
Yeah. But if he's the trailing guy on blocks where Linderbaum is climbing, I think he can be very effective against the Steelers linemen in terms of making space. And hopefully that's part of the plan. Yeah. All right. Always a pleasure doing the show with you. Frazier, can tell folks where they can talk football with you online if they want to.
You guys can reach me at Twitter/X at @F_Rave8. That's @F_RAPE8.
All right. Thanks to everybody for listening this season. This is the last show of the regular season. We hope we'll have some postseason shows for you as well. In a way, this is a postseason show anyway. But we look forward to hopefully having more football to talk about. And Frazier and I, I'm sure, will be working on other projects in the offseason anyway. If you have questions, use #FilmStudyMailbag. If you want to do the show a favor, write us a 5-star 50-word review on your favorite podcast platform. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you next time on Matchups. Mm-hmm.